It's the end of the world as we know it, Big Little Lies fans, so let's get talking because Renata is going to read us all the house down. Season 2, Episode 3, After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes! Sunday fun day. You know what that means. Big Little Lies.
Yes.
And we have a full panel today. I'm so excited. Yay! We're all reunited. And it feels so good. What's up, everyone? I'm your host, Ollie Dredden, your resident Reese Witherspoon super fan, I will say. And I'm joined by my special, wonderful panel, Simone Thomas.
Hey guys. She is
our social media queen. She knows when people are lying, and she knows when she can, like, read you down. It's like, oh, on social media, you're lying.
I see you.
Absolutely. And of course, we have Mia Brabham.
Hello.
Our special creative director who helps us with our special segment. She is so funny, and I'm so excited. So stay tuned for that special segment, right,
honored.
Mia?
I'm honored. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's going
to
be good.
And returning to the panel, we are so happy to have Jessie Zahner back in studio.
Thank you.
And she is our resident mama, right?
Yes. Yes.
And
crazy animal.
Stupid question. You're married too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's also married, so she helps the discussion because none of us are married, right?
Nope.
Other than Jessie. Perfect. Jessie is so wise.
So wise.
So she's going to help us out, okay, with some of these big little lies. But we're talking episode 3, The End of the World, because this was kind of the end of the world episode for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We got to talk about Renata. We got to talk about her poor little baby struggling with anxiety. Mm-hmm. Madeline. Oof. Celeste, of course. And Jane and her new boo. Oh! Cool. And Mary Louise. What's wrong with you?
Oh my gosh.
Send her home.
I know. She's voted off the island.
Right.
Yeah.
So, initial thoughts of episode 3, ladies. What are you feeling? I'm feeling some type of way.
My favorite line of the show was the Medusa of Monterey, referring to Renata.
Yeah.
So good. She is insane. Laura Dern does an amazing job playing that role. She's incredible, but she was probably the highlight of this episode. Mm-hmm. I feel like she kept the action and, like, the excitement and all the drama. And then I'm sad for these poor kids with the world ending. Like, I don't know how I would process that as a 7-year-old or how old
and
they
to
are.
Piggyback off of that too, I just feel like Renata's character is growing. Mm-hmm. She is kind of like a monster. This first episode, remember, we were like, well, there's nothing to say about Renata, but
exactly.
Now we're like, Renata is our character.
Yes.
She is everything.
Yep.
But I love, okay, you know who's underrated? This therapist. Okay,
yes.
This therapist who's helping everybody in their problems, who knows every single secret mm-hmm. about Monterey. She's coming for filth.
Yes,
I was like, grill her.
That's what the police officers really need to go to.
Seriously,
Yeah, so the therapist is going crazy. I mean, she's like on them this episode. And then also Mary Louise. Aside from Renata, aside from the therapist, Mary Louise going at Jane, I'm just like, girl, back off. And Jane, leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't listen to this.
Somebody reel her in and, like, give her a couple smacks.
Thank you.
I think this episode really, there was a line in the beginning with Bonnie and her mom. It was a flashback scene. And Elizabeth said to Bonnie, holding your breath underwater, you need to hold your breath underwater or else you're drowning. And I think that speaks so much about kind of, like, lying. You need to kind of, like, hold your breath through lying. And I think, I don't know, maybe I analyze things too much and overthink things, but that's something that stood out to me. And obviously, I think these kids are so smart.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
When they're talking about, in the little, like, group discussion and how you want to protect someone, so you lie. And these kids are learning through that, through their parents.
Right.
I just think it's phenomenal about having these kids. Yeah. These are our kids of tomorrow. These are our leaders tomorrow. And they're learning how to lie.
And they're learning that the world is ending.
Absolutely. I believe in climate change. Just saying.
I do.
So, speaking of that, Renata, let's just get to it. Everyone's talking about, obviously, Meryl Streep. She's probably going to be nominated for an Eminem. An Emmy. But I'm thinking, damn, Laura Dern is killing
it.
She's stealing the show
she
and
is.
Giving Meryl Streep a run for her money. So, Renata, poor little baby, Emabella, struggling with anxiety. And we kind of learned that almost, you know, her own mother's kind of causing this. She's worried about her mom and Gordon, obviously, and obviously about climate change. So what were your thoughts on the breakout star? Well, she's already a star, but kind of like the show stealer that is Renata.
Yes. I was so sick of her. She was great. Like, I loved all the drama and the extraness. But in terms of her being a mother and introspective and not being self-aware to realize that she's part of the problem. Like, she mm-hmm. wants to point fingers at her husband and the school. And I'm like, your stress stresses her out. Like, stress mm-hmm. is very, like, the energy transfers to other people. Mm-hmm. And your daughter feels that. And at that young of an age, she's not making that up. Mm-hmm. And yes, Gordon has its issues. But Renata, chill. And, like, try to, like, work on yourself, too, mm-hmm. instead of trying to fix everybody else.
Yeah. It's interesting to me to see just, like, this domino effect coming for all of these families. Like, I feel like each episode is just a new house. Mm-hmm. The lives affecting them, because what's so great about this episode and Renata's family, at least to me, is, you know, in all the other families, we kind of see, like, the husbands and the children kind of being affected by this line. They're like, you're different. But with Renata, she's always been this way. And then when Gordon dropped that line and he's like, you've been different, I was like, Gordon knows? So it's interesting. It just reminds me about the whole thing of, like, we are, like, the third eye. Like, we're a third person omniscient. Like, we see these characters as they are, but we don't see them in their home lives. So it makes me just wonder how they've been acting to make everybody realize that they are different, or if they're just kind of acting off the hearsay in the town and being like, did you do something?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's just interesting. And going back to what you said about her anxiety, we see that the doctor even suggests counseling for these guys. Mm. And Renata is so quick to just, like, blow him off and make fun of him and start talking in this voice and just, like, move on. So I don't know if she'll ever change, but she's definitely stressing me out. So I don't.
Yeah.
I feel like between her and Madeline, they're very, like, alpha female. Totally. And then Celeste and Bonnie are, I would say, like, more beta characters. And it works up until, like, they're the issue and they're not willing to be humble enough to admit that they're wrong. I think Madeline's kind of getting there, obviously, because she was caught. You're but right. Renata, she's not there yet to be apologetic at all.
Yeah. James is normal.
She
has a breakdown. No. I will say that I totally agree with you. Like, she is totally alpha female for sure. When she went into the principal's office and read everyone.
Oh my gosh.
Now so I think about it, I want Renata to read me. I just want her to insult me and see what she's going to come up with. You know? So amazing. And I also think, speaking of her husband and how he brought up the fact that you're different, and I think it's quick for her to kind of put the blame on everyone else, especially Gordon, with everything. You know, it's like this stress she's been suppressing is now finally surfacing, especially now that Gordon is going to jail and they're losing their money. So it's quick to point the finger at no one else, or everyone else but herself.
Yeah, he's the easy target.
Absolutely. Right. So she's kind of putting the blame or the guilt that she feels on him. Mm-hmm. And her poor little baby's picking up on it.
Everything. Aww.
And she has a nice-ass house.
Yeah.
Yes. She's rich. Yeah.
She was like, sell your shit. That was so funny. I was like, I was like, what is all this?
How could you be so heartless?
You know what I thought? I know as a child, I would hate if my mom would ever come into school and cause a ruckus and, like, yell at the teachers, because that's, like, a reflection of you, and you don't want to be that student whose mother is crazy. So I was like, oh, gosh, that poor child at home and now at school, her mom is just doing way too much.
I want a spinoff. Okay, after Big Little Lies is over, what do you think? Well, we never want Big Little Lies to end, but when it does, I want a spinoff to see if these kids pick up on the traits of their parents.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think it's going to happen to anyone. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
That would be great.
30 years later. Yeah. Any more thoughts on Renata before we move on? All right. Before we get to our next mother, we got to talk about our live read, which is give us that 5-star review, right? Absolutely. We'd really appreciate it. We love talking about the show. And give us that 5-star review. Leave a like, a comment, subscribe, share with your friends on Facebook. We would love it. We love talking about this show. You don't understand. You're just as much as part of this show as we are. And I just want to shout out someone who did give us a 5-star review last week. Shout out to Insta underscore Graham underscore DC. It's a long name. Left us an iTunes review for 5 stars and says, I enjoy this podcast so much. Makes me want to reread the book and count down to next week's episode. Engaging and empowering.
So, thank you.
That's so sweet.
Yes. And if you give us that 5-star, we will shout you out just like that and show love, because we love you guys so much.
Yes.
So.
And we'll keep doing the show.
Absolutely.
And let us know what you think in the live chat so we can chat with you.
Absolutely. Get that discussion like the best it's ever been, because we can, it's easy to miss stuff.
Yeah. Totally.
And they help us out so much because sometimes we forget these names. We
yes, Jessica
events.
Last week throwing in all the psychology, all the terms. I was like, right? Yes, girl.
Yeah. We read those comments.
No, we do. Mm-hmm. And people come up with such great thoughts about the episode they see it different than we do, mm-hmm. even because everybody's different. They have their own perspective.
Yep.
So it's so awesome to like go back mm-hmm. after and read what people have to say. So thank mm-hmm. you guys so much.
We appreciate it.
Yes.
This panel isn't just us four. It's all y'all.
Yes, exactly.
Monterey 500.
Yes.
Well, now I want to know what you all think about Celeste, because Celeste, oh, yeah. obviously, she's in therapy still, mm-hmm. and she's kind of in this position of the therapist is kind of telling her the truth, and I'm totally here. I'm team therapist in this, and that the issue of her kind of following suit of Mary Louise of idolizing the dead of Perry and only seeing the good, but yet he caused you so much pain. And not just you, mm-hmm. your girl Jane too. Oh, so what were your thoughts on Celeste in this episode, particularly?
Yeah. When she said, as dead as he is, sometimes I think I'm deader. Mm-hmm. That made me so sad just because mm-hmm. it was a really violent and toxic, terrible relationship, but like the way he died, like there really was no closure. So it's like, yeah, I don't want to say he deserved his death, but mm-hmm. I just feel like she never really was able to come to terms or rebuild the relationship or just, like, get that closure before walking away from him. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for me to watch her because I get where she's coming from, but I also, like, want her to listen to her therapist and, like, realize you're not the one to blame.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's not that black and white. And then having her awful mother-in-law who's, like, just so insensitive and child as this, like, innocent person who did, like, absolutely no wrong. We'll get to that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I just think, like, having a firecracker like Madeline around and then, like, her therapist are positive things. But, yeah, she's having a hard time.
Yeah. What do you think, Jesse?
Yeah, I think this is really difficult. I wrote down that as well, that maybe I'm deader. Because mm-hmm. something that she said before that was, like, that she felt like everything was so flat now, whereas before, with Perry in her life, it was, like, a lot of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. It was a roller coaster. And the therapist asks her later if she's an addict and Perry was her drug.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And, like, I really believe that, because why would you want to continue a relationship that was so up and down like that with the abuse that she endured mm-hmm. during it? And mm-hmm. now it's gone and now it's flat. So, right. like, it's hard. Is she, like, really addicted to that kind of pattern of behavior?
Yeah.
Or is she so used to it that now she doesn't know what to do? I don't know. It's just like a really sad point for her at this point.
Yeah.
And then, so what do you guys think about this? One thing the therapist said was, she's kind of telling her, like, don't think of the happy thoughts. And Celeste was like, what's wrong with thinking about and remembering the good things?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what are your guys' thoughts on that? Because I actually used to be a therapist.
Wow.
Yeah, this is really weird.
This is why you're a part of this panel, our star.
My therapy style was different than this therapist.
Yeah.
And so I just wonder what you guys think of that. Like, do you think, because I don't know what's right and wrong here mm-hmm. with that mm-hmm. specifically, but what do you think about, I mean, what's so wrong? He's gone, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just because she's using it as almost like a mechanism
mm-hmm.
to just, I think, to grapple onto her grief almost, because now she has to accept the fact that she was abused, but she also has to accept the fact that her husband's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that... you can't say don't think of the happy parts if she hasn't come to terms with everything else. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like that's bad. That's toxic.
I think Celeste is suffering the worst out of anyone,
totally.
Any
yeah.
one
yes.
of the Monterey Five, especially dealing with the Detective Mary Louise, for crying out loud.
Right.
Because it's like Mary Louise is enforcing that the positives about her son, mm-hmm. Perry. I mean, we saw in the scene with her twins and Mary Louise just watching all those memories on the iPad.
Right.
And so that's really instilling the fact. Also, Celeste, last episode, said, your dad was fine. Remember when her kids asked her, it was daddy a bad
right.
guy?
Mm-hmm.
And she just, big little lie there. Your dad was
I know, but
beautiful.
What do you say? What do you
yeah.
say
exactly.
to kids? He was terrible. He was horrible.
And that's
so
kind of like the message of this episode I brought up earlier was, you know, lying to protect someone you
right,
love.
Yeah.
So she loves Perry, and she also loves her
kids.
Totally.
So she's immortalizing the dead, you know?
Yeah.
It's so just hard.
And to speak about that, the iPad, too, I don't know about you guys, but I wanted so badly, it sounds so awful, but I wanted there to be, I wanted there to be something bad on the iPad about Harry.
I thought there was going to be.
I was like, scroll, keep scrolling. I was like, find something awful. But the thing is, Mary Louise, if she would have seen something bad, she sort of been like, what did you do to incite it? Yeah. Like, Mary Louise is never going to accept that Perry was a bad person.
Or she would have deleted it.
Oh! Yeah, that too.
Yeah, probably.
It's in the cloud. What if it's in the cloud?
Probably. But also the moment I thought was so powerful is when Mary Louise was looking through Celeste's drawer.
Oh,
my goodness. And then came in. Yes. And Celeste was like, it was because he kicked me. I think that Celeste really is, she's coming further each episode we see her with this grief and with just what happened to her about the abuse. And I think this was a good way for her to be like, saying it out loud is kind of like cementing it. Like, this actually happened to me and it's not okay.
Right.
And the same thing with Reese earlier in the car, I just realized just now, with Reese in the car, she was like, I wish you would have told me. And she was like, well, you wouldn't have done the same thing as me. Like, I would have, if it was reverse, I would have gotten you out there. Mm-hmm. So I feel like she says it out loud and she realizes what happens is, what happened is bad.
Right.
But she's still holding on to it just because it's helping her get through the pain that he's gone.
Right. Yeah.
Just, oh, it's so, I feel so bad for Celeste.
Yeah.
My heart is really tough.
There were lots of scenes with Celeste and Madeline talking, and I love that. I love that they're so supportive of each other. But speaking of that, the medicine scene, I felt like this whole episode, like I said, Detective Mary Louise, she's looking for evidence and dirt, and she even met with a detective, so she's just trying to find every single thing that she can to kind of combat the fact that everyone thinks that her son is a terrible person, and he was. And also, this kind of segues into our next topic of Jane, because Mary Louise wants to be a part of Ziggy's life, because, I mean, technically, she is the grandmother of Ziggy. So, what were your thoughts on Jane and the whole exchange between Mary Louise, who's kind of like, I remember last week you brought up victim blaming, Simone, and that kind of, we kind of saw that with their interaction.
Yeah, again. She is so irritating on a ton of levels, but it's just crazy to me. She wants to be in this boy's life, yet you don't believe his mother's story, and you're trying to pull a lie out of her or catch her in a lie to prove that she's the one who, like, she put herself onto him, like, she drew him in, and she just cannot go past the fact or see past the fact that her child was a monster, and, like, moms love their son. Like, a parent loves their child in general, but, like, moms are gonna see their children in, like, the most positive, innocent light possible, yet, clearly, like, this, why would this woman lie about it? And then, as a woman yourself, I'm sure you've faced harassment and discrimination or just oppression in general, so, like, where's the empathy? Knowing that now you have, like a family connection because you have a grandchild and you're still, like, blaming her as the cause of all of this.
I totally agree with that. I think that's such a powerful thing. Like, why do women question women like that? You know what I mean? Like, she's telling you what happened. You're hearing these things. I know it's your son, but at some point, I mean, just, like, how unempathetic she was about everything. And just, like, if I was Jane, I would have just been, like, bye. Like, never contact me again. Don't show up. Like, I'm done dealing with you. I understand that she wants her – maybe she's thinking about her son having a family or, like, this being her his grandmother. But, like, you don't need to be a part of that.
If that's how you're going to treat, like, his mom, no, you have no right. And then she was forcing her to relive the trauma by asking her all these insensitive questions, but she wasn't going about it in a delicate manner. She was just being so intrusive.
And it didn't – it wouldn't even matter what her answer was. She literally explained what happened almost in vivid detail. I was screaming. And she was like, like, shrug. And Mary Louise only wants to hear what she wants to hear. And it's so scary. But the thing I love about Jane is that she just, she stands her ground.
Like, I know. That's
like
such
you
a good
said,
point.
Like, I was like, why? I said the same thing when in my head. I was like, Jane, why are you just walking away? You have the option to walk away. But she stood her ground. She's like, no, this is what happened. She asked another question. She's like, no, like, that's, that's wrong. Like, this is exactly what. And she never once questions herself. You don't even. I love it because in her head, you feel like I would honestly buckle. Like, if that happened to me and someone was like, are you sure? I'd be like, maybe I did. I don't know. Maybe. But Jane is like, no, I know exactly what happened, which is so, so powerful, especially in contrast to Celeste. Because we see Celeste kind of coming to terms with it, but it's much slower. And Jane is like,
she's
I know.
She's addicted kind of to Perry and in his, what's the
abuse.
Word? Yeah, and just him as a person, her, the father of her kids, basically. Yeah. Right. So that's hard on her. But yeah, I totally agree with Jane not being afraid to stand up against, unlike Celeste, too. Like, I love Celeste making progress, but it's still kind of like a turtle versus a rabbit, you know?
And I'm glad she was feisty, but also kept calm, because at first I wanted her to just go off on Mary Louise, but then this could be even more of a cause for Mary Louise to go to the police and be like, Jane was so angry, but she wasn't, she played it cool, so I was like, yes, Jane.
Agreed.
And also, I think Mary Louise pushing Jane is also affecting her dating life with Corey, which I didn't know they were kind of trying to date. But I also thought, oh, what is Corey's intentions good? Where are they going with this? But I also, I think that it's kind of just showing she's still, Jane's still suffering, you know, from from being raped, and she still has that PTSD of men, maybe, you know, and how he abused her. And I hope Corey's a good guy. You know, I'd like to think, I hope he's not doing it. One thought of me, predictions, was that maybe he was kind of just, he wants to, like, maybe have sex with one of the Monterey Five. Not to demonize him, but I'm, like, I'm so afraid. Yeah. I think the worst, you know, in those situations. Well, but I would like to think he has Jane's best interest.
How their relationship developed was really weird, because he was being rude to her in the beginning, and then it transitioned into a romantic situationship all of a sudden.
No, and then he, she was like, "Oh, I have a son." He's like, "I want to meet him." It's like,
and he did. He was teaching him how to
it's
surf.
It's a little quick. That's weird. So that's kind of, that was like a red flag for me. Like, I mean, maybe he's just being nice, and I'm thinking too far.
But who says that on a first date?
I honestly, I don't know about you guys. I think he honestly might be on the spectrum. Because I have a cousin who's on the spectrum, and he said it, and I realized, at first when he said that, I was like, that's so rude, but I think it's because he is, and, like, some of the signs that he's showing, like, he's, like, very quick, and he knows a lot, and even she says that, Jane says that.
Yes,
she's like, oh, Ziggy knows a lot, and you know a lot, and it's just a lot of the signs. I think they haven't said it outright on the episode, and someone can correct me maybe if I'm wrong, but I think that's why it's just showing different tendencies that people on the spectrum just exemplify, but... I think he has good intentions. I'm starting to like him more. At first, I was like rude because I wish they almost said something out. If it's true on the show, I wish like they would have wrote it in there somewhere so we know.
Yeah.
But from what when I processed that, I was like, okay, I like him more. I understand now that his intentions aren't bad. He's just kind of abrupt.
Okay.
I
hope you're right.
Yeah.
Because that's love Jane.
Yeah.
Very interesting theory.
But please comment. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a great thought, though.
Let us know anything we missed too. Your questions, your comments, your concerns for some of these characters. Who's gonna die? What? Tell us the tea.
We love to.
Our last major topic is our girl, my fave, Madeline. I know she's a cheater, but she's repenting in a sense. She's also taking up therapy too with Ed. And I love this. MVP of this episode was either Renata or the therapist, because the therapist says adultery is just one form of infidelity. Indifference is another one. And maybe that kind of reads into Madeline's past marriage with Nathan, how they were just kind of indifferent to each other. I know we were talking about before the show started. So what were your thoughts on Madeline's whole arc in this episode?
I thought that line was really powerful about adultery versus indifference, and how they're still both violations in a committed relationship, just because we, like, obviously cheating on someone is the most vile form of betrayal, but when you're checked out or you're just not present, that's you're not physically cheating, but you're not present with your partner. I wouldn't say that. Was Ed checked out? I just don't think Madeline appreciated him.
I feel like Madeline was checked out.
Yeah.
Right, that's how
I took it. So she committed two crimes, not She was the one who was indifferent. Or clearly she didn't care.
She thought he was checked out, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know sometimes how when someone's so nice and they do all the right things, you undervalue them, and then you go and have an affair with someone and realize, oh, the grass is not greener. I think maybe that was her situation, because Ed has never done anything for her to stray away.
Real quick, I just think she felt the indifference, which led her to the adultery, you know, with the...
Yeah.
I was going to say, because if Ed wasn't indifferent, I don't think he was indifferent, but I feel like Reese would have been she would have been like way more, I guess, in therapy, like, oh my gosh, you weren't paying attention to me.
Exactly.
Like, I think how hurt she is shows how, I think, good of a husband he was.
Exactly.
So one thing the therapist says also is, did you do this to get his attention? But I didn't really think that was true of Madeline. What did you guys think?
She's just selfish.
She wanted someone else's attention, okay?
Right?
For real.
But I didn't get how the therapist was trying to connect her not going to college to her cheating on her husband.
Yeah, I don't know if that made, if there was like a feeling of, I don't really know what to say, but just something underneath that that made her feel like, less than, or like she wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. So maybe she was like seeking out something else. Like, I don't know, but I understand what you're saying. Like, I don't know how that connected, but she's definitely affected, because then she goes home and talks to Abigail about it. But so I don't know if she just doesn't feel good enough for him or what. I don't know.
Definitely.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I will say that shout out to the scene of Ed going to talk to Bonnie.
Yes.
And I remember he was so not into it, the idea, when he was talking to Nathan in the first episode.
Yeah.
And now that he's just not, well, Madeline's not on his good side right now, so he's going to take that. He's like going to rub it in her face.
Yep. Yeah. Do what he wants to do.
And I liked it. I was here for it because Bonnie was smiling, and she seems, I hope that her also, Bonnie didn't have a whole lot of screen time in this episode, but
she
hope that her mother's actually helping her, you know? Mm-hmm. And she seems like she's on a better path, you know, with the help of Ed, even though even though he kind of did it just to rub it in Madeline's face, I feel like.
But it's the happiest we've ever seen her, so hey, I'm not knocking it.
I know, I'm not knocking it either. Any thoughts on like the speech at the end, because about illusions, and it just ties into the episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think we should teach kids climate change.
I think so.
Not to get political, but
it's like real, and that's what Madeline was getting at. She was like, you know, we want to tell our children fairy tales and the world is gonna end happily ever after, and most stories are not like that. They're effed up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like finding a good balance of not terrifying the kids, which I don't think the teacher was doing.
No,
maybe just Amabella with
he
all
he was
the,
teaching them facts.
Yeah, like there was nothing. There were no alternative facts in there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing scary. I just think maybe she's more sensitive to information like that, and then just her home life. All those elements combined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, oh wait, did we forget to mention that Madeline's dad actually had an affair too?
That's right.
That
was
a huge thing. That stood out to me.
Yeah.
And she always kind of suppressed that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking to Celeste in the car about that.
Yeah.
So those are important therapy. So those are some of the most therapy
kids
sessions.
Kids learning from their parents.
Exactly.
It trickles down.
Oh my gosh.
Subconsciously too.
It's a cycle, gosh darn it.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a cycle. So anyways, any last thoughts before we get to our special segment presented by Mia?
All right, so we're going to play this week Two Truths and a Big Little Lie.
Yes.
Why you always lying?
Yes, I love it.
It never gets old. So in this game, basically you're playing Two Truths and a Lie. So I'll say two true facts about the series or the episode, and then one is a lie.
Okay.
Crafted.
Let's
so you have to tell
it.
Me which one's the lie. Okay, one, this show has won 4 Golden Globes. 2, Jennifer Aniston, was considered for the role of Celeste. And 3, Zoe and Nicole once lived together.
Oh my gosh.
In the same house.
Zoe and Nicole once lived.
Which one's a lie?
I'm going with 2.
Which one was it? Sorry.
Golden Globes, Jen Aniston considered for the role of Celeste, and then Zoe and Nicole once lived together in the same room.
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know any
Jennifer
of these.
Aniston one is false, right? That's what I'm guessing.
So you're saying that one's false?
I'm going to say number 3, Zoe and Nicole living together is false.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with Simone. I think that was, I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Okay, we have a winner. So our in-house therapist.
Yeah!
I just thought number 3 was like, why would you make that up? So I just guessed.
That's so weird.
It is,
okay.
I know, right?
It's not weird.
No, it's unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't know this until I was doing research for work earlier and found this out this year, but I had no idea that Lenny Kravitz and Nicole Kidman were once engaged.
Whoa.
So Zoe was 13 at the time, and she lived in the same house as them.
That makes
clearly
sense.
She was 13.
That's wild.
So they did live together. At one point, Jen Aniston, I made that up. I was like, who could play Celeste? Maybe not, maybe. Only only our girl Nicole. But I was like, that could maybe trip him up. And then, the show's won 4 Golden Globes. So.
Didn't you say last week that Nicole and Zoe got really close on set? Or was it Zoe and someone else?
Nicole and Reese lived together in Nashville. Or not lived together, lived next to each other. They got so close they bought houses.
Ah, that's what it is.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
All these connections.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
That they lived together?
Yeah.
Zoe was 13 at the time. I'm not sure.
Oh my
gosh. She's in her late 20s. So
that must be, that's a wild perspective for Zoe to kind of like 20 years later or X and M, give or take, to have like your almost stepmom be your co-star.
Right.
So cool. Oh, it's cool. And
they got really close and like they still have a good relationship.
That's good.
Nicole
and
because I think they're like Keith and her and Lenny, they all have a picture together. Yeah. They're chill. They're super chill. So
that's awesome.
Look at pictures. It's really entertaining. You're like, oh my gosh.
Zoe Kravitz will be 31 this year.
Okay. So she's 30. Zoe Kravitz is going to be 31.
18?
18 years ago.
Wow. Gosh, I could do math.
Good math.
That was good.
Mia, that was a good segment.
Last week you guys got me. I was like, dang it. I was like, I have to make it tricky.
You made this really hard.
No, that was good.
And that's why you're a special segment queen.
Yes.
We love
it. You guys like it.
So let's get on to our news queen, Jessie. Yes. What you got for us?
Let's do it.
So Meryl turned 70 on Saturday, so she got a bunch of shout-outs on social media from her co-stars, which was really fun to watch. And then also, something that I found that's really interesting is you can now rent out Reese Witherspoon's Malibu mansion from the show.
Yeah.
So even though it's set in Monterey, the mansion's actually in Malibu. You can rent it out for $5,000 a night.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody have a party and invite me.
Well, I was like, they should, like, let us do a show from there. Wouldn't that be cool?
Wow.
And it has, like, 6 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms, a guest house, all, like, views of the ocean. It'd be so awesome.
And then we get to stay the night after hosting the show.
Totally.
Oh, my goodness.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. And then we're all going to be supporting characters on season 3.
The spin-off show of the kids.
The spin-off show, yes.
I love it. I love it. Well, happy birthday to Meryl Streep.
Would that be for a Cancer or Gemini?
She's a Cancer, right? Well, she's like right on the cusp. Because what is... So today's the 23rd, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that was the 21st. Yeah, so she's like...
Well,
right,
you said Saturday,
wow.
though.
Yeah, that's Saturday,
22nd.
Right? Oh, shoot, I'm sorry. I thought today was Monday, yes.
Yeah, what day is it, honestly?
Okay, yes, so she's a Cancer.
Cancer, okay.
Oh, I love Cancer.
I'm a water sign
being
like
a Cancer.
Me.
Mm-hmm. But okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Mary Louise isn't very emotional
exactly.
like Cancer.
Exactly.
So
Mary Louise, everyone
definitely.
Tell us who you think Mary Louise would be. What
yes.
sign is she?
I think
she's
what sign do you guys think?
A Leo.
Aries.
I was thinking an Aries.
She's got to be a
so
Leo
funny.
Or a Virgo, 100%.
No, I
totally
believe
got an Aries.
They're
probably
strong,
Aries.
Right? With
yes.
their horns.
Very intense.
Let us know who you think.
Maybe a Scorpio.
No. Scorpio.
Yeah.
We're saying every astrological sign.
She doesn't deserve a Scorpio. I love my
Scorpio. Are you a
Scorpio? No, I'm a Pisces. But...
Me too. When's your birthday?
March 18th.
Oh, February 23rd.
Okay. Pisces sisters.
Pisces stable, yes. Look at you guys.
Oh my God, I love
so
it.
Great.
I love it. Well, we're unfortunately losing track of time.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. No, I don't want it to end. But let's get on to predictions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so who would like to go first? Anyone? I'm scared.
Yeah, so am I.
I know. Jessie.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. I just think... I think Mary Louise is obviously going to continue to try to get in. And I don't know. I'm really interested to see what happens with her and Jane. Because I think Jane is giving in a little bit on, like, wanting her in Ziggy's life. So I'm curious to see where that goes. But the overall theme, I think, is it's just going to keep going downhill. And things are going to keep falling apart. And we're going to get more into what happened.
I think Ed might leave Madeline.
Ooh.
I don't think he's going to be able to handle it.
Mm.
Mary Louise, she's definitely going to keep snooping.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think someone's going to be like, girl, like, confront her even more than they already have in this episode.
Mm.
And I think Jane is going to continue on with Corey. I think they're going to start really liking each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have any juicy
predictions, like
though. Yeah. I don't know.
Hopefully Corey makes can help peel back those layers and help her feel protected again.
Yeah.
I would hope for that.
Yeah.
Give
that
her
a
safe
nice.
Space.
Yeah.
I think Bonnie and Ed are going to get closer because he's the one person we've seen her be able to connect with comfortably and she's more lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both in difficult situations. Misery loves company. So maybe they'll get a little closer. And
Shania Twain situation.
And I don't know. I think the kids are going to keep surprising us with some, I don't know what things they have up their sleeves or insightful things they've seen. So.
Okay.
They always
I got three predictions. I'm going to say I wanted Madeline to confront Mary Louise, but now I want Renata to kind of confront her.
Yeah.
Right? I was thinking
that.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That Emily, would be amazing
us.
Because they kind of made it seem they set up something for next or in the future for Mary Louise to have some kind of interaction with Renata by the end of the episode.
She would read her to filth, and I'd be so here for it.
I'm afraid Madeline's going to snap or something. I think possibly maybe Bonnie and Ed will get together, and maybe just to get back at their both of their spouses, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Madeline might snap, and I feel we saw her push Nathan in one episode, and she just seems... I wonder if she's turning into, like, Perry.
Ooh.
You know, some kind of... I don't know. Because we've been seeing the men be abusive, so I'm just wondering if, one of the wives are going to turn out to be abusive. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe I'm thinking Mary Louise is abusive.
I would, if I could rank them, I would say Renata first, then Madeline.
That's a, yeah,
because Renata is intense.
Yes,
and then Jane, Bonnie would not hurt a fly.
Yeah,
nor would Celeste.
Well, let us know your predictions and anything we may have missed, because we love hearing from you guys week after week. Fortunately, we have to wrap up. Where can I find my amazing panel on social media?
Yes, you can find me at Simone A. Thomas on Instagram and Twitter.
Hi, I can be found on Instagram at Yours Truly Mia and Twitter at Hot Mess Mia.
I'm Jesse Zahner. You can find me all over social media at Athletic.
And I'm your host, Ollie Drennan. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at Ollie Dreamer. Until next Sunday, we will see you for Big Little Lies, episode 4.
Bye, guys!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.